eat with that back there. I mean, it's like, that's distractions. It's terrible. Hallelujah. I want to make an announcement before I forget. We are not going to be gathering at the machine shed tomorrow because people weren't able to make it. But we're going to push it out to January 12th. And my phone, I'm not worshiping it, but I am pulling it out to make sure my dates. You're watching me. Well, there. And we're going to go with January 12th at 8 a.m. men's breakfast, okay, at Machine Shed. Again, we are not going to eat. Now, if you're there tomorrow, eat some bacon for me, okay? If it happens and you end up at Machine Shed, just eat a few slices of bacon for me. So, January 12th, and Andrew had a really good idea. We might see if we can go to the range after that, if some men would like to do that. If you don't have a firearm or a pistol, don't worry about it. We got plenty between all of us, so there's plenty of that stuff going around. So I mean, we got an arsenal. We'll get you taken care of. His initials are Pastor Brent. I mean, other people. But all right. So, amen. We're gonna have a good time. January 12th, come out. We're gonna eat. We're gonna blow stuff up. So I mean. What guy wouldn't want that? Come on, eating bacon.
Also, from what I hear, Sierra might need to come teach some lessons.
Oh. Wowzer. Who's the gal in the used to train? Was a sharpshooter, Annie. Yeah, Annie Oakley. Annie Oakley. There we go. We've got an Annie Oakley on our hands. He could do all the trick shooting and stuff. So. Good deal. We're thinking about going to Crossfire or wherever that place is.
Crossroads.
Crossroads, right?
Am I right?
Yeah. So it's right off Merle Hay Road there in Johnston. So it's indoor, which is kind of nice during January. So, you know, unless you want to go in an outdoor range. Yeah. You like. So anyway, we'll give you more info here. I'm going to maybe reach out to them, but I think it'll be a fun get together. And amen. Amen. Well, tonight... I want to spend a little bit of time. Last week, I want to continue what I was talking about with end times revival. Now, I know sometimes, you know, you hear some people talking about, and the reason why is because everything political going on, it looks like everything's getting dark, but then some portions of the scripture, it talks about we're going to have, you know, it's going to be great. Others, you know, Jesus talks about Matthew chapter 24, which I'm going to talk about. It doesn't sound very good. But they're actually both right. And I want to take a little bit of a balanced approach tonight and show you scriptures of the reason what's going to be good and the things that are coming into the end times that's not going to be good. So, you know, we can get kind of in the ditch on one way or the other, right? Especially, you know, with a lot of the political things lately, we've seen just extremely negativity. And that's not just, now it's been, I feel like, overboard now. It's kind of coming to a crescendo. But it's always been kind of negative, you know, the mudslinging, every political. It's always, you know, this person's awful terrible and I'm better and you should vote for me. It's easy to get a negative. But as the world we see becomes darker, and it's also Jesus talking about the world getting darker, there's some hope on our end. And we need to have a balance and approach. And the Bible, there's, you know, it talks about two different things, but I'm going to kind of explain a little bit what we're going to see the end times happening. Amen. And I'm not going to go for a full-blown, you know, end times teaching. I'm going to go a little bit there. I need to spend some time to go more in depth, but we're going to look at what it means to us, okay? And we'll start in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. I think this is a great place to start. This is Peter after the day of Pentecost, when after Jesus died, rose from the dead, he tells him, go to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, go there, wait in Jerusalem. After that, you'll go to Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the earth, right? But he said, there's a gift I want you to have. The gift was the Holy Spirit poured out on the church that day, all right? Now, after the Holy Spirit, which is what? To empower people to do the work of the ministry, right? We see Jesus told us that in Acts chapter 1. That the reason why, so we're born again when we're saved, that's for us, our spirit to be regenerated. 1 Corinthians 5:17, right? And then we're a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Jesus talks about we're born again. That happens. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we make him Lord. Romans 9, 10, you guys can write some of these scriptures down. Romans 10, 9, and 10. If we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus died and God raised him from the dead, we are saved. He is Lord, right? So we can confess those things. We can believe we're born again. But then there's also, well, there's multiple experiences. But one of the next experiences that Jesus commands us to do is be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, most churches want to run from this, but if Jesus commanded us to do this, then we need to do it, right? And so we see here, after that happens, the church, the Holy Spirit falls on the church in the upper room. Then, then Peter gets out in the street and he's preaching. Now, remember, he's preaching to Jews here. And also, we can take this for ourselves, right? So we see here, he's standing in the streets and he's preaching these things because we got people that are confused, right? They're sitting there going, I mean, think about it back then. People are speaking in tongues, which I don't have time to really teach through tonight. But tongues is something. It is a heavenly language that we have that's empowered. It says there in 1 Corinthians that we can speak not unto men, but what? Unto God. So when we're speaking a perfect language. How many of you know that tonight, when you pray things out or something, you have a limited knowledge? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, like I said before, in the old you know, Pentecostal church that I was in, Sunday night was kind of the big, we'd have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and it was like, you're going to hell if you don't show up for every one of them. I mean, it was just like, nowadays, it's like, well, I'll kind of show up when I mean, it was back then, you showed up for church like every time the door was open, right? Now, Sunday night was the time where we kind of, Holy Spirit would move, and we'd just all end up praying, and I just like, well, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm down at the, you remember the altar? Remember those in the churches? Some of you know. They're just these big, it's about that big. You can sit there and kneel down and pray, and they call it is the altar, you know? And so, you know, you go there and pray, and if after 5 minutes of praying for Fluffy the dog and Grandma and Grandpa and my friends, and I just ran out of stuff to pray out, right? Because what does the Bible say? My understanding is unfruitful, but the Spirit knows. And so the Holy Spirit can pray out things in the spirit realm that we have no idea of. And I've had this happen multiple times when I'm praying things out that they come to pass. But when we see here in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, Peter, I'll start in verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and addressed them. Now the 11, and he goes on, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since there's a third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Now this is very different than what Jesus is going to, what we're going to read about in Matthew chapter 24. But they're both right. And he says, and in the last days it shall be. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you remember all the great things that happened in the book of Acts? If you remember your Bible and the things Jesus did. And Jesus even came out and he said, you know what? You're going to do greater things than me. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're talking about raising people from the dead. We're talking about, you know, lepers that are going in trying to, you know, put their fingers back on their hands. And I mean, he's healing people, right? And we see in the book of Acts, we're seeing what happened. People getting translated. Philip, the evangelist, he's being translated. We're also seeing people getting healed. You know, we see the apostle Paul. I mean, he's dead half the time. He's got snakes biting him. They're falling off of him. I mean, it says he was stoned multiple times. He gets up. I mean, he's just the Energizer bunny. I mean, he takes a lick and he keeps on ticking, right? Why do you think that all those things happen is because of God is anointing them? But he says here, Peter says, in the last days. So what does that mean? That means that when he was not in the last days, right? Because he's talking about future tense. How many think we're in the last days now? Yeah. I mean, I don't think anything get any worse, do you? I mean, all the creepy stuff going on, all the weird stuff. And so he says here, in the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, let me stop there for a minute. Don't you think it's a good thing? In God's spirit being poured out on people? Well, the Bible tells me God is love, right? And the kingdom is love, joy, and peace, and the Holy Ghost, right? So everything that comes from God is good. So if God's going to pour out his Holy Spirit, that means it's going to be good, right? Are the things happening in the world from the Spirit of God? No, they are not. So we got two kingdoms going on here, right? So then he goes on, he says, and I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even my male servants and my female servants. And in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I want to stop here again. Peter talks about the last days, which we're in now. These are all good things, right? It means God is showing up on people, manifesting, showing himself to people, leading them and guiding them, right? Let me just say this. They'll prophesy. What does prophesy mean? It means to speak with the utterance of God. It means give you direction, give you understanding, right? So in these end times, God's going to give you direction. You're going to prophesy. People are going to prophesy. This doesn't say prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, does it? It says people, all flesh. It's non-discriminatory. God wants to do good things to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. In verse 19, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs of the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. So there's going to be manifestations. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. How many ever seen the blood moons? We've seen quite a few of those lately, right? The blood moons. It's even on TV, right? Oh, we're going to have a blood moon tonight, right? Well, right here, it says in the Bible. We're going to see these things. And then it goes on and it says, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. So again, everything's going to happen before the Lord comes back, right? We're going to see these things. An outpouring like never before in the last days. Well, that means that obviously we're later than Paul or Peter here. So we're probably going to see it more than him because we're in the last days. Verse 22, here we go. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the divine plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up. Lose the pangs of death, because if it was not possible for him to be led by it. Here we go. This is some interesting things here. For David, he's quoting David in Psalms here concerning him. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is in my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh will also dwell in hope. Here we go. Listen to this here. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. I'm going to stop here for a moment. There was a prophet who was talking about the Lord. And see, the Lord was in hell for 3 days, right? We see that in Ephesians. We see that in Revelations, the first chapter. We see that in Scripture where Christ went, Ephesians chapter 4, says he went lower before he ascended. So that means he went to hell and he came back. Revelation says that he took, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 19, there it talks about his descent in hell, and it says that he came back without the keys of what? Death and hell, right? Death and the grave. So where does he get the death and the grave? In hell? Because the devil had it. So he had to take it away from him, right? That was his power. That was his authority. And one of the things, it was interesting, and you can, if you want to take this for what it's worth, but the interesting thing here, it was also in the next few verses, he says the same thing, that it says, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, which is hell. One prophet was talking to me, and he says, how did you know, when it's going to be 3 days? And he says, the Lord said, I held on to the scripture. Even the Lord in hell hung on to his own word. That God would not abandon him in hell. Can you imagine the mental anguish Jesus was going through in hell? Know that every single devil in hell was so excited he was there. I mean, we always talk about, him going and dying on the cross and the mental warfare and staying focused and how amazing Jesus was. But the amazing thing is the 3 days and 3 nights he spent in hell. Now, that is something that, Every devil in hell hates. I mean, the reason why they don't like us is because of God, right? Because we're made in his image and they hate his image. And if Jesus is in hell, oh boy, were they having a party then? And it was a short-lived party. Because it backfired on him. And the Bible says if the devil would have known what the end result was, he never would have done it in the first place. Verse 28, and it says, "And you have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence." Then he goes on, and I'm going to skip down to verse 31. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, and he was what? Not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Interestingly enough, he talks about David again, talking about he would not be abandoned in hell, nor was his flesh see corruption. What does it mean? They wouldn't destroy him in hell. Interesting how the Lord saw these scriptures when David spoke them in Psalms, and he hung on to them while he was in hell, because these are prophesied about him. These scriptures that David spoke were prophetic about Jesus. And then in verse 36 here, and in verse 35, "And I will make my enemies a footstool, your footstool. Let all of the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." I'm going to look up another scripture here too. In Acts. So the interesting thing here is also, Peter is talking about in the end times, all these wonderful things are going to happen. God's going to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. We're going to see all of these things happening, and there's going to be great things. He's going to, again, prophecy means God is revealing his will and direction to us, right? So in the end times, we don't have to feel like, where is God? He said he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Let's read that again. And it says, in the last days, verse 17, God declares that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Here we go. So we're going to be able to prophesy, right?
Yeah.
Which means speak utterance from God is really what it means. And your young men shall see visions. So we're going to have visions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That means, what does it say? God is going to give us direction. He's going to show up and he's going to give us direction in our life, right? Why? I believe because it's going to be a very confusing time. How many think it's very confusing right now? We need direction, right? And then what does he say? You shall see visions and dreams. So there's prophecy. Remember, the Holy Spirit's going to come on our flesh. We're going to have prophecy, which means he's going to give us direction. We're going to see visions, which again, God is going to show us things, and dreams. In these end times, God is going to show us the way, right? Not only through his word, which was what we call the Logos word, but also Rhema word, which is a spoken word, right? This Bible does not tell me everything to do with my life, but guess what? I need prophecy in my life. I need vision. I need dreams. I need direction. And that all comes from who? The Holy Ghost. Okay. Were we bored with that? I'm kidding. Matthew 2 after 24. I want to dig in this tonight. I don't know how much longer we're going to go because I can smell some things over there. So, hallelujah. Now, so we're seeing that Peter is we just read Peter is quoting the prophet Joel, which is in the Old Testament, and God is so awesome because he leaves his breadcrumbs all over the place, right? All the way from Genesis to Revelation, he is showing things, and the Bible says out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, I establish my truth, right? So it's not just one place, but we can find it multiple places throughout the Bible that God says the same thing on often many subjects. We see Genesis 3:15, we see Joel 2, we see Acts chapter 2, we see all over the place. God is doing things. Matthew chapter 24, I don't know if we're going to get through all this tonight, but we're going to talk a little bit about where the end times and where we're going. And we're going to look at both sides of it. Because we can get, again, like I said earlier, we can get all hung up on, oh, everything's going to be awful terrible, or everything's just going to be super wonderful, but we got to stay in our lane and our path, right? Matthew chapter 24 verse 3 through 39. Now this is Jesus here. The disciples came to him, and I've read this many times. We're going to dig out some new truths tonight. Because again, sometimes when you go over scripture, you just can't, we can't talk about everything. But he's talking about the end times. The disciples said, tell us what it's like going to be in the end times. And in verse 3, he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what are the signs of the coming and of the end of age. Now, he didn't say, he said the end of age, right? The way the world's going to end. He did not say how the church is going to function. Big difference there, right? And we read this and we think, oh, this is all going to, this is not necessary. This is the way the world's going to, the world is moving towards the end, how everything's going to end. And so we see here, verse 4, and Jesus answered and says, see that no one leads you astray. What's that? Well, that kind of matches, right, with what we talked about in Acts chapter 2, where Peter said, we're going to have the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to prophesy, we're going to have dreams, we're going to see visions. That means God's going to give us direction. And that's where Peter starts with. Jesus starts here with, don't be led astray, right? What's that mean? Be led by the Spirit. Get into your Bible, just like Miss Adrian said, Pastor Adrian just said, right? Get into the Word. He says, for many will come in my name, say I'm the Christ. They will lead many astray. How many have been led astray, you see? A lot of people led astray. How many churches now are deceived and they got to have one foot in the world and one foot in the Bible, right? And they kind of, you know, trying to make everybody happy, be politically correct, and it just doesn't work out, does it? I mean, Jesus said there in Revelation, told the churches, he says, hey, I want you hot or cold. This whole lukewarm stuff, it makes me sick, right? We don't go to Starbucks or coffee, whatever your favorite coffee place is. Do you want that lukewarm? No, they say you want it what? Hot or cold? Lukewarm, right? Like, it creeps me out a little bit when a lukewarm milk, doesn't it? You know, you're like, I don't know. I think I'm going to chance that. Thanks anyway. So he doesn't want us lukewarm. We're either hot or cold, right? There's no lukewarm knob on your faucet at home, right? It's either what? Hot or cold. That's it. Here, it's all just cold. So, sorry. Yeah. We got the wah, wah, wah. It's just cold here. You got to kind of hold your breath. And then it says, you'll see what? Rumors of wars and rumors of wars. And you'll see, don't be alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are what? The beginning of birth pains. Yeah. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. I would just say this, you know, I definitely believe in unity, but I'm just saying there are people that are going to fall away, right? It's just people are going to fall away. You know, we see there in, what is it, Mark chapter 4, about the four soil types, and one of them was offended, and they got mad, and they left, right? And we're going to see Jesus talks about four soil types, right? But then there's the good soil type, which, again, they heard the Bible, they stuck to it, and they kept going. Now we're going to see here other places Jesus talks about the cure for this. Are you guys bored tonight? Okay. Because I'm going to get into some really interesting stuff here in just a little bit. If we can get there. All right. If I don't get tempted over there for the aroma. And it says, let me see here. And in verse 10, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will rise and lead many astray. Well, we see that right now, don't we? Right? Where, you know, the whole love is love thing, you know, or, you know, we just love people and you can live any way you want, you can do anything you want. I'm sorry, I don't have the liberty, I don't have, you know, if we're committed to Christ, then we have the same values he does. Right? I can't just pick and choose what I want to from this or that. No, it just doesn't work that way. Right? And they obviously haven't read their Bible. And we go on here, it says, many will fall away betray, and because lawlessness will increase. How many have seen lawlessness lately? Right? I thought about this today. I thought, you know, I should get my great-great-grandparents and yank them from the dead and pull them in today and say, what do you think about what's going on now? And see, we're so used to it. Let's just, because we're going to get into some really interesting things here, but you know what's going on even the last 10, 15 years? I mean, in the world? Guys, let's just say this. Next couple of years, we can see robots walking up down the street. I'm just saying that. Things are going to get crazy, right? It's not if, but when. And they're talking about it right now. And they're already coming to a consciousness. AI is. Right? Oh, we're going to. Jesus prophesied this in this scripture we're going to read right now. And it's going to get real juicy. So hang on. And then he goes on and he says, lawlessness will increase and the love of many will grow cold. Right? But the one, here we go, who endures until the end will be saved. If you're faithful to the end and don't give up, and you just keep going and you stick with God and you're doing what's right, you're going to be saved. But how many people, Jesus talks about, hey, you know, a lot of people are going to get offended. They're going to, he talked about this in Mark chapter 4. He talks about it here. People are going to get offended. They're going to leave, right? Now, compare that so far. Let's bounce back over to Acts chapter 2. Peter said that in the end times, he's going to pour his spirit out on all flesh. Those are the people that are enduring until the end, right? So we see two different paths going here, and they're both right. We see the path that Jesus is talking about. The world is going to an end. Its lawlessness increase. The love of cold grows, you know, it's growing cold. People just don't care about one another. And then we also have God's direction. We see the remnant. We also see the Holy Spirit pouring out His Spirit upon people. We see people that are prophesying. They're seeing visions. They're having dreams. God is speaking to them. He's showing them direction, and things are going great. You know, used to, one time I was out hunting, deer hunting one time, and there's these pigs, these hogs, right? And this great big sow. I mean, she's a big girl. And she had little piglets there, and it was in a fit. And they started following me, and I'm like, please don't follow me. I don't want to shoot a sow today. I mean, it was my buddy. He owned the land and stuff. But I'm like, please don't follow me. I don't want to go. But you know what? Just because I walked by the pigs, I didn't have to roll around in the mud. You know? Interesting how those pigs were so preoccupied with, I mean, it's cold that day, so they didn't have a lot of mud and stuff. But they're eating slop, and they're doing these things, and they're doing pigs do pig stuff, right? I'm not the prodigal son, so I'm not in there eating pig food. But the point is, just because the hogs are doing that, it doesn't mean I have to do it, right? I just keep walking right. Why? Because why? I'm walking, I'm moving in this direction, the pigs are doing their thing, and we're both parallel, aren't we? Just because they're living like pigs and that they were little literal pigs, it doesn't mean I have to eat their food, I have to roll around in their filth, do I? But the world's always have to say, well, you have to believe what we do. You're just hater, you're just this, you're just that. No, I'm not. And it's always demonic because the devil, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and 16. He leads us in all truth. He guides us. You know, we see there in Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit, He's loving, gentle, kindness, goodness, all these things. The devil is a driver, right? You got to do this now. You got to believe. I get really kind of nervous around those people. Then the end will come. And then here's something. We'll go here. Verse 15. So when the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, standing in a holy place, and then it says here, I want to read this in Matthew chapter 24, verse, and this is interesting, and I want to, Matthew chapter 24, I want to read verse 15 here. King James, so look what it says. Verse 15. And it says, "And therefore shall the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel prophesied, standing in the holy place, readeth him under," and basically what he's talking about here, when he's standing in the desolation, and the abomination, what he's saying is in the end times, you see in Daniel and other places, the end times, this is where he says he is going to, the desolation of the abomination, it means when the end times, when the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem, because it's not there now, when it's rebuilt, the Antichrist will stand there declaring he's God. Now I want you to turn to another scripture really quick about Jesus' words. Luke chapter 4. Guess who else said this? Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus says, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for him to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had spoken, opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Hallelujah. Then he goes on, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, sat down, and all the eyes were on the synagogue, fastened on him. Here we go. And he began to say to them, what? "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What is he saying? "I am God in the synagogue." Guess what the Antichrist does? Everything Jesus did but perverts it in the temple. He is trying to perform this exact scripture that Jesus did there on that day. And the Jews are going to freak out, we're going to see. Because they're waiting for the Messiah, and they're like, "This is a pig, this is an imposter, this is not the Messiah." And what are they going to say here? They're going to say, verse 16, "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." They're going to run to Petra. "Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take to his house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak." And then it goes on, "Hey, if you're a pregnant woman or you're nursing infants in those days, or pray that it's not going to be in wintertime, because it's going to be bad." Because what happens is the enemy is going to come after them at that time, because they're not going to accept the Antichrist as the Messiah. Boom, everything's going to break loose at that time. Then the Jews are going to be like, "Ooh, we kind of realize now, right? We kind of messed up." Then it goes on and it says different things, but here's verse 29. And it talks about false Christ, false prophets, talks about great signs and wonders. The devil is going to try to deceive people. In verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will have fallen from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then will appear in the heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of earth will mourn for and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with the power of glory." So Jesus is going to come down. He's going to take names, and he's going to take care of the enemy, right? It's going to just all one time. He's just going to take care of everybody. And he will send his angels a loud trumpet, and will gather the elect of the four winds from the face of the earth. And then from the fig tree, learn its lesson, the branches. And then he goes on. Now I want to skip down to verse 36. So Jesus comes back, and this is kind of where we want to end up tonight. Verse 36, and he talks about the end times. What does it look like? He compares it to the days of Noah. And in verse 36, he says, "But concerning that day, and no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." So these people that keep saying, "I know when the rapture is going to happen," you don't know when the rapture is going to happen, right? You know what happens? People say, "Well, the rapture is going to happen on this date." I go, click. I'd rather watch football. I don't care. I don't want to listen to it because it's unscriptural. You don't know when the rapture is going to happen. I always hear these people, "Well, if it doesn't happen this 7-year cycle, it's going to happen next 7-year cycle, and it's going to happen this 7-year cycle." Like, you don't know. Just stop. We know what the end times are. We know like the Bereans. We know the day and the time in the book of Acts, right? We know the season that we're in, but we don't know when the rapture is going to happen. I've heard people over time, oh, the rapture is going to happen this time. The rapture is going to happen this time. You don't know where it's going to happen. Angels and Jesus don't even know what's going to happen. Only the Father does. So then it goes on and it says, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now this brings us more light to what is going on right now and what will continue to happen. Verse 38, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So let's take a quick look here before we close. What the days of Noah, real brief, looks like, right? So we just compared two different teachings or messages. First of all, we see that there's good and evil in the days of Noah, right? There's righteous and there's unrighteous. The righteous knew what was coming ahead. The unrighteous had no idea. I mean, they're just giving in marriage. Now, it says, it's interesting here that it says, not just giving in marriage, Jesus says, but giving in marriage. Okay? I think there's a lot more in depth in that statement right there than just, oh, they were having wedding ceremonies. I think the idea of marriage, it goes way beyond just it's because he says marriage and giving in marriage. So we see two simultaneous groups moving forward. We see Noah is righteousness moving forward at the same time. And we also see what? Those people that were wicked and evil. And you know what? The righteous people knew what was going to happen. The unrighteous people had no idea it was going to hit them. No idea, right? I mean, you got people in the world that they have no idea, you know, Jesus is coming back, but they're really concerned about their pronouns. Right? I mean, really concerned about the most ridiculous stuff, and they're offended, and their whole life is just like, oh, you didn't call me this, you didn't call me this. It's like, you don't have a clue what's coming ahead, right? I mean, it's just so many things are happening that's your world. I'm going to shave my head and be celibate for the next four years. Well, praise God. I'm so happy for you, you know? It's like, thank you for thank you for saving those men out there. But that's your offense, right? And that's your life. Like, that's the road you're going to go down. But we're shipwrecked. We're headed for destructive behavior, Jesus just says right here. They have no idea. Then also, too, you know, and I always like to say the things that are going on right now. What was going on in the days of Noah? Kate and I were just looking at this earlier this afternoon, just talking about all of the freaks and all of the, you know, inbred creatures that, you know, they've excavated online. We were looking at that, just talking about this today. I mean, you look back and you're looking at, you realize 10 years ago there, and it started, and it always have like the flavor that 10 years ago they're concerned about. It was all about, okay, because it's not if, but back in the Old Testament, during this time period, we see in Genesis chapter 6 that the sons of man came down and they mated with the daughters of men. And what does that mean? Well, that means that we got giants in the land. We got all these weird creations. Other writings of that time and even after that, they're talking about how they polluted. Now, that's what Jesus says, marrying and giving in marriage. I think it's just not just humans, but I think there's other things going on. So to revert back to 10 years ago, I remember that there was a big debate on whether, you know, half human and half animals or all this other stuff, because they had these labs under all over the world. There was a big one underground in London, here in the United States, everything else. Do we give them citizenship or not? They're half human, they're half animals, right? Do you realize there's an AI robot in Saudi Arabia that has Saudi Arabia citizenship right now? Because it has consciousness, right? So there's a Saudi Arabia, there's other countries that have given AI robots citizenship, right? So what does that say? Then the days of Noah, it's going to be just like in the end of time, right? We're creating freaks And you know, now it's like now it's kind of like the AI is out of the box, and people are talking about. I mean, we have no idea what's going to end, how this is going to end up, right? I mean, you read about some of the writings during that time period, you know, with all of this stuff going on, and now we're seeing the two paths, just like in the days of Noah, right? We're seeing these monsters, these freaks that were made, these fallen angels and all these creations, the giants, and you see all these the remains now, and we're seeing freaks, and we're seeing, you know, all of these other things that are getting into like transhumanism, where you're going to be half AI, half a human, and then now they can do half human, half animal, part AI, part this. They're talking about chips you can put in your brain that will help you develop faster, right? Yeah. Elon Musk is working on that too. That's one of his many things where we can have a chip on our brain and it'll help us, you know, with different things, right? Now, I'm not against technology, but, you know, I'd sure hate to have somebody, hack into my brain and do and say weird things, right? Well, and then we just said right there, there's going to be signs and wonders, lying wonders Jesus talks about too, right? Now they're talking about how they can have a political person, AI can now do it now, where they can create an AI image, make them say something they didn't have, or hide information, or do something to create wars with other countries. And so now we're in a land where everything's a free, we don't know what to believe anymore, right? And so we got this path that we're going right down the same thing that we had there with you know, Noah, which he's got all these inbred creatures that he's dealing with at that time. We not only see in days of Noah, we see Romans had dealt with it, we see the Greeks, everybody in Europe. We see in Peru, there's giants. We see all over the world, the Indians and Native Americans, even here in America, they're talking about they had dealings with giants. They're all over the world because of Genesis chapter 6. And then the flood came, and then they came back again. Well, guess what? The devil wants them to come back. Why? Because he's trying to pervert the DNA of man so that when Jesus came, he would not be fully human. Right? Well, it didn't work. So we're seeing two paths here going down as we continue. We're seeing the world is becoming more and more like the days of Noah. They're perverted. They're doing more perverted things, right? And then we're also seeing that we're seeing just what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. There's going to be some poor spirit on all flesh, right? That doesn't have anything to do with me. Now, the people around me can impact me, but I'm walking with down the road that Peter said. And that is, I'm going to walk in this with the Spirit of God. He's going to show me things. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have peace. Then we also, too, you know, get to another side topic here. But when the mark of the beast comes at some point, Jesus talks about, well, he talks about there in Revelation 666. That's the number of man or the beast. And then after that point, you will not be able to be saved. What's that tell me? There's probably something that happens that's going to change our DNA so that we know. You know, the giants weren't saved in the Old Testament. They didn't have the ability to become born again. Well, they weren't born again back then. But I'm saying that they were not, right? Giants were not saved. These creatures were not saved. Only humans were. Angels weren't saved. They don't have the ability to be born again like you and I do. Right? But something at the point where that mark of the beast in the end times, that's why it's so important to just walk with God. But at the end times, when we see that mark of the beast come up, and then at that point, you will not be able to be born again at some point. I don't know what's going to happen. Whether there's something that's going to happen in your DNA, you're going to be changed. I don't know. But at some point, it's done. It's over. Once you accept it. I mean, everything in this life can be forgiven by God, right? Because the Bible says that he's, you know, all sins are forgiven. There's only two that are not. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and taking the mark of the beast. You're done. You are done. And so we're seeing, not to say this to scare you, but what I'm saying is the world is heading towards a destructive path. We are not. And it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what's going on. Jesus said, we read it there in Matthew chapter 24, those who what? Endure to the end shall be saved. Now think about it. You think, oh, it's so hard to live for God and everything. Noah, his wife, his three kids, and their spouses were righteous. And that was it. They made it. And guess what? You're going to make it. Stick with God. Right? So all of this stuff going on in the world, we've seen this political upheaval, we've seen all of these crazy things, and we're going to see more crazy things, right? Because some of mine, and maybe some of you know more than this, I don't spend all my time studying these things, but I'm saying they're talking about within the next couple of years that we're going to start seeing robots. The next 10 years, there could be millions of them all over. But again, I just want to keep one thing in mind is that that's them, this is us. Nothing. I mean, Jesus talks about, you know, there's going to be other places in this chapter. I don't have time to go, but it says, Jesus talks about other places. There'll be things coming up out of the earth that men's hearts will fail them. That means there's some terrifying things that, again, we don't need to be scared about it. But what I'm saying is, but it doesn't mean it's terrifying, but you know, it can be just lying wonders, right? We don't need to worry about these things. We are on the path as believers, amen? It just, because all the crazy stuff they do with AI, right? I was looking at stuff, and sometimes looking at stuff, and I'm like, is that real? That's just crazy. That's not even real, the stuff that they can do. And remember, the Bible says that all these crazy things that you're going to see, it's going to be lying wonders, meaning it's not true. How many have like seen some fake stuff on the news, right? How many, am I the only one that just doesn't believe the news a lot, you know, right? Yeah. A lot of things I don't believe, right? And I look back and I laugh and remember the devil is the master of propaganda, right? He's lying to you all the time, saying you're not good enough. Everything's bad, everything's terrible, everything's awful. But you know what? My Bible says that you're made in his image and after his likeness. And it also says, Jesus says, you know what? Those who endure until the end will be saved. So it doesn't matter what's going on, what you see. I don't believe half of what I see on TV. Because that's the devil's MO, is just to get you to worry about things, to get in fear about things. But what I'm saying is that's the world's thing. Peter talks about you as believers, myself as a believer, we've got great things ahead. And it's only going to increase. And if the amazing things that Peter and the disciples saw in the early days, how much more are we going to see? What's to say? We're going to see things getting darker in the world, but it's going to get brighter in the church. That's all I'm saying. God is never going to be outdone by the scariness of the world. I'm excited because as things get darker in the world, God is going to shine way brighter than that. And I believe that the news is going to have to report things of the goodness of God. Amen? That there is going to be so many things that are going to happen in the world that it doesn't matter what weird freak stuff is going on out there. God is still under control. I still have joy. And you know what? We have not seen the good stuff yet, as good as we're going to see. Amen. I believe that we're going to see a time frame, a window now, that there's going to be a revival like never before. Because I believe that we have seen this kind of the scary concern as believers, scary concern, but I think that we're at a pivotal point where God is going to open up, and the reason I'm saying this is because of this, is because I believe God is going to open up a window for us as believers in this country, in this world, to see a revival of people coming back to God. Amen. And I believe we're going to see that here in the days to come. That we're going to see a window God is opening up and going to give believers an opportunity and a foothold to really do things. We're going to see people that are going to support the church, they're going to help the church, and be able to kind of thwart off the enemy, and it's because we're praying also, We're going to thwart off the enemy so that we can see a harvest. Amen?
Amen.
Because again, I mean, you know, we can talk about, oh, this. I don't believe the scary stuff because I think a lot of it is garbage that we see on TV and everything's coming to an end. But I'm telling you what, if Abraham and God can do things together, if there's only two people, you and God, you are a majority. Amen? Anybody with God, anybody that believes, you are a majority. All things are possible to them that believe. Amen? And so don't be discouraged about the world, because we're going to expect to see that stuff happen. And we don't care, because again, like I said earlier, that does not pertain to us. But what does pertain to us is the prophesying. God's going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. We're going to have visions. We're going to dream dreams. Why? God is going to give us direction and hope, and the world doesn't have that. All they're going to do is live in fear, and that's what they live in. We live in hope and in faith. Amen?
Yes.
So, anyway, we've got a window open up. I believe we're going to continue to pray as a church. You know, some people will fall away, but you know what? A lot of people are going to come on board. And there's been people prophesying about this window. And it's been just something that's been stirred inside of me for weeks now. But we've seen, you know, people prophesying, you know, a billion souls coming to Jesus. This is so amazing. I mean, Jesus gives the outline of the world, and he completely talks about the days of Noah, and we're in the last days. It's just like the days of Noah, but hallelujah, the righteous will prevail.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
And the world and the devil is always going to tell you that they're winning, everything's so dark and everything's so terrible, and nobody's a Christian and nobody loves God. We found that out to be wrong a few weeks ago, didn't we? And they're liars. And when they're caught lying, they try to spin their lies even more. Just like Elijah, you know, oh, I just, the devil lying to him that he's the only one, and you know, oh, mean old Jezebel's coming after him. And God said, Whoa, TTT, hold on. Whoa. I got thousands just like you over here.
Yeah.
And the devil wants to lie to us all the time that you're the only one, nobody, and that's his biggest lie, and that's completely false. Fake news. Father, we just thank you tonight for these precious people, Lord. I thank you so much for them. In the name of Jesus, we declare tonight all hell can come against us, but we have victory. Amen?
Amen.
Because of the like Revelation says, the power, the blood of Jesus and the power of our testimony tonight, Lord Jesus. We have victory.
Yes.
We thank you. If you need prayer tonight for anything, or you never made Jesus your Lord, we want to baptize the Holy Spirit. We want to pray to you with you tonight. We want to give you that opportunity. But it is awesome serving God. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be hopeless. We don't have to be in fear. But we got hope tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.